Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chamber Channel's Five Questions podcast. This is the place where we take a deep dive with industry leaders for an inside look at their world and how they can make a difference in yours.
Hilton Head Island is pretty renowned for our bike paths and leisure trails. But thanks to Elizabeth Robin, we now have a different type of trail. We have our very own poetry trail. To celebrate National Arts and Humanities Month, we've got local writer Elizabeth Robin in our studio to talk about the Hilton Head Island Poetry Trail. Let's listen.
So Elizabeth, thank you for coming. Let's dive right into the Poetry Trail. What is it and where can people find it on Hilton Head Island?
Well, you know what people say about making plans. Mm-hmm. So I planned for this like 12 stop thing where there would be poems on signs, and I was thinking maybe it would be on the shuttle bus stops, or I've been trying to figure out how to do this for probably 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I had actually talked to Jen McEwen about it. Mm-hmm. Years ago. She was on board with the idea, but how to deliver it, I couldn't figure out. Then the COVID thing put us all back a ways. I was telling my friend Bill Schmidt about it. He's a volunteer with Concours d'Elegance and the Turtle Patrol, and you know, he's just kind of like an idea guy. Mm-hmm. And I told him what I wanted to do, and he's like, you know, I've been using these like QR codes for like Mitchellville and different places on signs. You could use that. So what the Poetry Trail actually is it's now 26 signs that are, you know, like 12 by 18 that just say Hilton Head Poetry Trail and a number, and then invite you to scan a QR code to meet a poet and a poem. And the other QR code, because there are two of them, mm-hmm. takes you to our Facebook page and a map of the whole trail. It is not a walkable trail unless you're in insanely fit, maybe not even bikeable in one day. But what Bill ended up doing once it grew beyond the 12 was to color code it. So there's a green trail that's the south end. It starts at Caligny Beach at the entrance there. And there's a mid-island trail that's red, and blue trail that's the north end. So we go all the way from Caligny Beach to Mitchellville and the Sailing and Rowing Center, and we're all over.
So is it like, is it at some of those places where we have like, you know, the public art installations?
Yes, that was what, you know, that's what Jen brought me into in the beginning. And Natalie Harvey's been amazing about hooking me up with a lot of the sculptures, the big, you know, so the Shelter Cove Park area is, it's very popular. We've had in the first 3 months, the poems that are sitting right at the big green space in the middle, right across from the shopping center, have been read almost 900 times a piece.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The poets are through the moon. I have 23 poets. Mm-hmm. All but one live and work on the island or in Bluffton. Mm-hmm. They're all different. They're all somehow connected to the location. Mm-hmm. They're sculptures, they're businesses, they're nonprofits. So
that was the next question was, what are some of these poems about? Are they inspired by the spot that they are, the location, or anything?
Well, I put out an all call. Mm-hmm. The writer's world is actually very small, kind of like Hilton Head Island is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know a good portion of the writers, even in South Carolina itself. So, you know, I know all the poets, and I just went, I need poems. Here's where we're going. Mm-hmm. Send me stuff. So they sent me stuff. I also curate the poetry page for Local Life magazine. They publish a poem every month. So I have a whole catalog of poems to pull from. But, for example, there's a sculpture in Shelter Cove called Nestlings.
Mm-hmm. Is it the one with the birds?
It's the two birds that are kind of intertwined, and it's a little bit abstract, but not completely. And I love it because in its location, you can actually, I have a photograph I took of it where you can peek through and you can see the old oyster factory across the broad creek on the other side. It's just like, it's just a beautiful spot. And a lovely poet on the island named Denise Spencer had written a piece about it. It's about your children growing up and, and, you know, the empty nest syndrome. So it's related to that, but it's not about birds. It, you know, she uses the metaphor of birds, but it's about, you know, we parents in this stage having our children grow away. So it's kind of perfect for that spot.
It is. It is. That's really, that's very nice.
And believe me, she's a new poet.
Really?
Yes, she's a new poet. She's new to this. She's amazing. But you know, this is the first time that she's aware that over 800 people have read her poem. So she's through the moon.
Well, you know, talking about empty nesters, that's really appropriate as sort of like a second phase in life, you know, and, you know, speaking about your career and your trajectory as a poet, when did you first sort of become interested in poetry and what drew you to this art form?
Well, I always get this question, and it's, well, I was a high school English teacher for 33 years. So in that way, I came to poetry through a very traditional place. But like most people, I saw poetry as something to read in print. I taught it that way for years and years and years. And I found poetry difficult because my students found poetry difficult. Because sometimes it seems cryptic and obscure. But I evolved as a teacher, which I hopefully we all evolve in our jobs. And I realized that poetry was a wonderful way to access all kinds of, writing techniques. And it was a great way in the, you know, between 42 and 58 minutes, depending on where you teach, that you have in a class period to teach a concept. Poetry is a very accessible, compressed form to parallel a lot of the things students were reading in their longer literature pieces, novels, and so on. So I learned to love poetry in that form as a teacher. And I loved the fact that by the end of the year, my students wouldn't groan when they'd walk in and say, "What are we doing today?" And I'd say, "We're doing a poem." So that was my litmus test. What happened to me as a writer was strange because I retired young and moved here with the intent of becoming a writer. I had always wanted to see if I could do it. I had never had time. I also have three children that I raised while I was working full time. You know the world. So I thought I was going to be a nonfiction writer, kind of like Pat Conroy. I was going to write my teaching memoirs, and that was going to become a bestseller like his, The Water is Wide. And then I was going to flip into writing novels, which is my go-to reading. I love novels, especially mystery novels. And I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And just like him, they'll all be bestsellers and they'll all become major motion pictures and the rest is history, right? But I have written that first piece of nonfiction, and I have since written another piece of nonfiction, long ones. I don't have a publisher yet, but in the meantime, I started experiencing a series of pretty devastating personal tragedies. And I would sit down to write about them, which has always been my go-to way to deal with my life. And they would turn into poems, which I'd never written before. And somewhere along the line, I would bring them to my critique group and they're like, you know, I think you ought to start like trying to write poems because I think you're good at that. I think it's you. Mm-hmm. So I started playing with it, and I've really grown to enjoy it. It's a real challenge. Yeah. It's a compressed way of telling a story that's very difficult to do well. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of techniques, and there are a lot of forms, and there are a lot of ways to do it. And I love the challenge. Mm-hmm. And I love trying to get better at it. At some point, I feel like I'm going to get really good. And it's, you know, but it's that kind of challenge that's always like sparked me. And I'm, you know, three books later, I guess I have to call myself a poet.
How does the island's environment, culture, and history influence your poetry?
The influence is huge. My poetry is often about nature. Nature is the inspiration for a lot of the poetry I write. I'm an old school tree hugger. And of course, like many people, it's the richness of the environment that draws me here as much as anything else. I love spending days watching the lagoon and the herons tripping around the lagoon and, you know, the hawks showing up and mayhem ensuing and watching the gators slipping across and all of that. It's wonderful. My very first poem that was published was called The Low Country Path. And it was about one of my many like long walks. I have a dog that I walk all the time, and there's a lot of that, a lot of inspiration here.
Great. So what can your readers look forward from you in the future?
I don't know. Futures aren't guaranteed, right? But I am putting together a fourth book of poetry right now that has to do with being transplanted to South Carolina and how this feels like home to me now. Lots about the nature that you find here and the complexity of living here and its history. I'm still trying to find a publisher for my nonfiction work. I'm hoping you can look for that. We'll see. There are no guarantees on the publishing game. Poetry is a lot more straightforward than nonfiction or fiction. I'm in the middle of a novel that's a Hilton Head murder mystery that I'm having a lot of fun writing, but I don't know if it'll ever get picked up. So we have to see. But no reason not to try. Right. So I will keep trying.
Great. Well, Elizabeth, thank you for your time and for coming on our podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. The podcast continues to grow, and never miss an episode of our 5 Questions podcast by subscribing to the Chamber Channel on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take a moment to download, subscribe, and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people.